97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Tim, don't, if you know it, don't spoil it because Carl and Bo haven't heard it yet.
I have not heard it.
But do you know of the Smokey Robinson cameo gaffe?
I heard it yesterday on the DGS.
Okay. Oh, right. Well, look at you.
Yeah, okay, so don't spoil it because Bo hasn't heard it yet.
I'm all ears.
All right, here we go.
And they wanted me to wish you happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is, but happy Chinooka because they said so.
Oh, no.
Well, that was from DGS.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
My partner, Bo Matthews.
Wow.
And Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman Show. Put in a little overtime with us from this week's show and sticking around for the podcast exclusive. On this week's show, if you haven't heard yet, make sure you download that podcast as well. We talked a little bit about Cameo. I know it's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, but we
sell it, buddy.
Before,
sell it.
Before we started recording the show, we were having a conversation about Cameo, and Carl and I were trying to convince Bo Matthews that he would be a great person
to
make his services available on Cameo. And I walked in mid-conversation, and I assumed that we were talking about Cameo because of the Smokey Robinson incident.
You mean this?
They wanted me to wish you happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is, but happy Chinooka because they said so.
Wow.
Because that made such headlines this week.
It's spelled so many different ways. So
and the most common way to spell it is with the H.
Right.
I think most people know that Hanukkah can be spelled with the CH, but I think the more common way now, at least, is to spell it to start with an H.
But and he's an old man.
The traditional way to spell Hanukkah is with the CH at the beginning. And Smokey wished somebody a happy Chinooka.
He's not a member of the tribe.
Cameo.
So I just want to put in there, for anybody that doesn't know what Cameo is, I found it a few months ago, and Andrew Dice Clay was like the first person. So basically, it would be a great Christmas gift for people because there's every level of star that's out there, from boxers to actors to musicians, that will do a personal message for somebody by name. I mean, it's just, Carol Baskin
for money.
Is on there.
Mm-hmm.
For money, a lot of money in some cases.
She,
Carol Baskin, is $299.
Yeah, she's one of the more famous ones. They announced who had the most this week. The owner of Cameo came out and said that Kevin from The Office is the number one get, because he actually takes pride in his things, and he does about 15 of them a day and produces them. And if he doesn't like it, he redoes them.
Mm.
So if you take pride in it, you can actually make a lot of money. The soup Nazi from Seinfeld makes six figures, and then the owner of Cameo had to apologize to the soup Nazi because he's like, hey man, six figures, that could be $100,000, that could be $990,000. People are asking me for money because they think I'm rich.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I know guys like Gilbert Gottfried. Mm-hmm. I think Kevin from The Office was the number one earner, as Carl mentioned, this year. I think in 2019, Gilbert Gottfried was the number one earner on Cameo. So these guys make a lot of money by giving little personal greetings that you pay for. It's a limited amount of time that and I think amount of words the script can have. But other than those limitations, you can basically have these celebrities say anything. And people obviously use them for Christmas and Hanukkah. Greetings.
Or you can ask somebody to marry you.
Birthday greetings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things like that. People have used them as a way to get revenge on people before. Like, to let them know that they caught you cheating.
Ooh.
Or something like that. They have a celebrity say, like,
they'll do anything they want.
Like, hey, bitch, I know that you were cheating on me.
Remember Tom Brady? They had Tom Brady say some white power stuff a couple months ago.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, because they'll read whatever they say to you.
Yeah, well, that should be not allowed.
Well,
racism should not be allowed on
somebody
Cameo.
Found out about it, and they canceled the guy, and they sued.
Good. Well, good. That, yeah, well, there should be some limitations. racism should definitely.
It's like a Ron Burgundy scenario.
Exactly. They don't know what it is.
No kidding. No kidding.
Happy birthday, David Duke.
But
what do you think
of Smokey there? What do you think of Smokey and his happy Chinooka? Don't you think if you're Smokey, don't you get help? Don't you ask somebody and say, "What is this? I don't know what this word is."
Oh, it's Hanukkah.
Can you tell me what this word is?
I just want to point out the fact that, you know, celebrities often want to employ their political thoughts on us. These are the same people that will say happy Chinooka. So you got to be careful what you're listening to.
I thought you were going to say they employ their family members and they don't know either.
But what is funny about it is you go into it and you click on a name like Bob Saget or whatever, and then there's videos that they have done for other people that you can get an idea of. And it's just, I don't know, I just get stuck in this rabbit hole. Just, oh, yeah, Linda Gray from Dallas is on there. Really? Anybody can be on there.
Bo Matthews from Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors is going to be on there.
Radio legend, Bo Matthews.
That's right.
They don't have a category for that.
I legit did not know what he was talking about when he kept referencing Chinooka and
Oh, yeah.
I keep thinking like the Taco Bell dish.
Yeah, so you didn't even...
Oh, no.
So you didn't even know
Chalupa.
So when you heard it, you didn't even understand what... You knew that he was saying something wrong, but you didn't know what he was supposed to be saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, what is Chinooka? No idea.
That's
familiar
funny.
With Hanukkah. I understand the concept, but yeah, Chinooka was a new one on me. But on the other side, if you guys ever look at like your Outlook calendar or something or your Google calendar, they start pre-populating all kinds of holidays in there. Like, does anyone know what Diwali is? If someone said, "Hey Tony, I want you to wish my buddy happy Diwali," are you going to pronounce it right? Are you going to be like, "I don't know what this is, but have a great one anyways."
But I would get
Mickey
help.
Mouse. That's the voice of Mickey Mouse. For $300, you could have Mickey Mouse do something. You think the big mouse would be upset about that?
No kidding, unless they're getting a piece of it. Unless they're getting that's the voice of Mickey Mouse.
He's the one in the new shorts. Like Wayne Alwyn has
that dude
has been,
that's jacked.
Yeah, he was on. No he was kidding. On Entourage, and he was on Silicon Valley. He was Mo in the reboot of the Three Stooges. But the new Disney shorts,
yeah,
he is the voice of Mickey Mouse.
Dang, he is. Ooh. He's a freaking house. Like he is jacked.
Jacked.
Yeah, I had no idea. Look him up. What's his name?
Chris Diamopoulos.
Chris Diamopoulos is the voice of Mickey Mouse, and he looks like he's an MMA fighter.
Well, he was a a-hole on Silicon Valley. He was like a he was a bad and people know him from being a jerk on TV.
And now he's Mickey Mouse.
And now he's Mickey Mouse.
Steve Guttenberg, that's pretty great.
Gilbert, said.
Yep. That's pretty funny stuff. Anyway, Bo.
Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors and Cameo Talk.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bo, you should do it.
Wow. Hey, a lot of there are Great Outdoors and Second Amendment people on here. Ted Nugent's on here.
There you go.
Mm.
There you go.
Snoop.
Mm-hmm. Randy Quaid looks a little scary on here.
Oh man, yeah. Randy Quaid.
Jeez.
The stuff he's doing is hilarious. I don't know if you guys have seen
Nick
his
Foley.
Twitter stuff that he's so he reads he's a Trump fan and supporter.
Okay.
And he reads Trump's tweets and it's like an extreme close up on Randy Quaid's face and he puts this like strobe light effect on his face and then he reads the tweets in a very
seizures.
But he reads the tweets in a very dramatic fashion like this. So it'll be like
And this is on his Twitter account?
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Wow.
So it's like fake news media reports that I have lost the election. But they are wrong.
I'm following them now.
Fake news.
I gotta follow them.
Yeah, like it's really funny stuff.
Brett Hull, if you're a blues fan, $250.
There you go. And and in his in his profile pic, he's wearing a blues jersey. That's pretty good.
So I guess that pisses off all the people that
the
are
Dallas
Detroit
fans,
and Dallas.
The Detroit fans, and all the places that he.
Michael Buffer's on there for $295.
Wow, that's cheaper. Like if you get caught playing his stuff, that he sues you. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you pay
absolutely.
Him.
Okay. All
okay.
Right. That's
so what's really weird.
That's enough. Okay. No, it's not enough cameo. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. This is Randy Quaid talk now.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I like it.
So I, here's how weird things are. I just go to Twitter and I go to the search bar and I punch in the name Randy, and Quaid is the third one to pop up. Was my phone listening to me or what?
I know. Yes. I think he's that popular on there right now because of what he's been doing. He's been doing it for like almost
he's been a Trumper for a while.
He's been doing it for almost the entire Trump presidency. But it is it is really funny. It is really funny.
Chris Diamantopoulos is how you say it.
And he is
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
That's pretty
awesome. Let's talk to Tim since
about
we've
Elks.
Got him.
Hey Tim, do you think do you think Bo should be on Cameo?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk to Tim. Tim,
what's that?
What do you think about Cameo?
I wish Wilford Brimley was still alive.
Aw.
Oh, yeah.
He could talk to you about diabetes.
He would
and I could get his Cameo.
He would be good at it.
Tell me to eat oatmeal.
Right. So on the show this week, we were talking about elk season. By the time you listen to this, I think elk season will be over in the state of Missouri. But as we record this, there's a few days left in the firearms portion of elk season. And as we record this, we were talking about how four of the five tags has been filled. Hopefully, by the time this makes it to your podcast inbox, the fifth tag has also been filled. So, Tim, how do you know from the aspect of the Department of Conservation, was this elk season, both of them, was this a very successful endeavor for the state of Missouri? And do you expect it to be back next year? And have they announced like any plans to expand it or leave it alone? Or what have you heard in that area?
First off, it's going to be funny someday when my buddies at the MDC actually hear me speaking for them. I'll be like, why is he speaking for us? Why is he doing this? I think it's been very successful. If you go on the MDC's Facebook page, they posted hero shots of the guys and their elk as they were coming in. And a lot of them have like 350 plus comments, which is a lot of comments for the MDC's Facebook account. And people are really excited because people have it in their minds that someday that could be me. That could be pretty much any Missouri resident who cares to hunt, and that's exciting. We are living through the beginning of an era, and that is the modern elk hunting season in Missouri, where we haven't seen one in over 100 years. That's really we're living in historical times, and so the fact that four to five guys have killed. And there's still, you know, the fifth guy still has a chance here in the next few days. That's a great success. The fact that there's been so much public support for this, there was concern early on farmers and ranchers might have with elk busting down their fences and vehicle collisions and those kind of things. And there's been a little bit of that here and there, as far as I know, but nothing to really slow down, this project.
Very cool. Very cool. Bo, did you say you had a question about hogs?
Well, yeah. Okay. So there's a hunting season for everything. Is there a hunting season for hogs, or is this just anytime you can get them, get them?
Yeah. I think is this open season, right?
Yeah. There's technically no season because they're an invasive species. And so there's no closed season either, which means that you can shoot them on site. Although the department is recommending that if you see one, you report it instead of trying to hunt it, because when you hunt them, they're very smart and they figure it out and they disperse. And so now instead of having one sounder of pigs, you've got two or three different sounders that are all reproducing in their own new locations, and you're just spreading the problem around.
Wow. Wow. And how?
So I find it interesting that they've got a season for squirrel, ugh, but not for hogs.
Yeah. And that's because hogs are invasive. They aren't native to here. They were
check my garden.
Here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
That's so true. A buddy of mine sent me some pictures of a hog hunt a buddy of his did, which they had a trailer full of these hogs just, you know, loaded up on there. And they did, and I asked the question.
He's calling Bo out from a month ago.
Well, yeah, he is. You know what? I should have thought about it. I should have thought to send it to you.
Is this real? You guys jacking me around again?
It's Memorex. Tim, I'm going to text it to you. You tell me if it's real or not. But anyway, he did say that some of them would be making it to processors so they could feed the people that need it. And I think that's a fantastic idea. When you got that much pork, let's do it, you know?
Yeah. From my trip out to Oak, I've never killed a hog, so I'm not an expert at it. I know people who have, and when I was out in Oklahoma, I sat for a little bit on a hog hunt, and I talked to one of the guys that does it a lot, and his thing was, like, pretty much you want to shoot a pig that's 100 pounds or less. They call them gelts, and those are the good eaters. One of the guys in camp killed a 250-pounder, and it was rank outside and inside, and it's not good for eating. The coyotes can make quick work of it, but the best eaters are the ones on the smaller side.
Right. Well, I can't wait for Tony and I to get up in a helicopter and go and do that,
because
I think it would be awesome. Hey, okay, if I can interject this question, Tim, have you ever seen an elk in person?
At Lone Elk County Park, I have.
Okay, so size comparison to. Size comparison to a large, you know, buck, is it just that much different? Is it that much bigger?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, four times more massive than a buck, I would estimate. I mean, they're huge.
So to tie everything together, out at Lone Elk, they have amazing fishing at Lone Elk. You can't just go fish publicly, but you can rent their, I think they have two boats. And you can rent their boat for a day, and you can go out there and fish. And my buddy Perry Woods and I have done that many times, and it is an awesome place to fish. And there have been times when we have pulled up at the park there to meet the park ranger to get the keys to the boat and go fishing that day, and an elk has just decided that they're going to stand in the road.
And because they can.
And there is nothing you can do about it.
800 That's pounds.
Right. There is nothing you can do about it. You can see where you need to go to, and you can see the park ranger waiting for you to get there and give you the keys to the boat and, you know, make the little transaction. But there is nothing you can do about it, because this thing is standing in the road and it is not moving. It does not care that you have a big truck, and even when you creep up closer to it, they just don't care. They are big, big animals.
Yeah, and some people out there get their vehicles damaged because the bulls will scrape the heck out of their cars with their antlers.
Yeah, and you got to be careful when you park. You know, the parking lot is not a very far walk to where the boat is, but the park ranger tells you, like, keep your head on a swivel and pay attention as you're walking to the boat. And, you know, if one of these animals is anywhere near you, then you need to get away as quickly as you can without creating a panic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to mess around with a bison out
yeah.
there.
I'd
take my chances with an elk over a bison, but I wouldn't want to tangle with either. But bison can be destructive too, and they're out there in spades.
Yep, yep, absolutely. But it is such a cool place to go and visit.
I caught a few bluegills, but we just had a tough day of fishing out there.
Really?
When I went.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting, because
it was part of their Crappie Wednesday program that they would host in the spring, and went out there with like, you could only keep crappie. I think they were wanting to reduce the number of crappie out of there. Man, we didn't catch a single crappie. It looks like a great lake, and it felt like, you know, when we were jigging around, we're vertical jigging in some spots, it felt good, but we just didn't do any good.
I've only fished for bass out there, and I've never had a bad day. And I'm talking like dozens in a day.
I'm doing it wrong.
And it's catch and release. And at the end, you have to document when you fish out there.
You catch and release?
Part of the deal is you document how many fish you caught. You just give them, like, just an estimate number of how many you caught, an estimate number of how big, of how long and how much they weighed, like all of that. They just want those sort of estimate numbers. And I don't know. We've done it probably a dozen times over the years.
Wow.
And I can't remember ever having a bad day. out there. That's pretty.
I'll have to get some tips.
But I've also never attempted Crappie Wednesday. So, you know, maybe that's a different story. Before we let you go, Tim, I wanted to ask you about kind of tying into elk season. Earlier this year and last year, when the Missouri Department of Conservation was talking about implementing this elk season, they were talking about maybe also bringing in other hunting seasons like a bear season in the state of Missouri. Do you have any information on whether or not the bear season is still being discussed? And does the success of the elk program have any influence maybe on introducing a bear season or any other new hunting seasons to the state?
I'm not sure the two are related. I think primarily what they're looking at are population dynamics and making sure that we have a sustainable population to hunt. And so that's I know that they've broken Missouri up into BMZ. They call them bear management zones. And I think there are three, with the northern kind of third of Missouri not being considered in that category. It looks like kind of from 70 south is the three different bear management zones. But they're definitely looking at, I don't know if they have dates set for that yet or not, but it's pretty much a sure thing that it will happen during the fall of 2021.
That's super cool.
I'm excited. I mean, I probably won't get a draw because it's gonna be a tough get again. Just like elk hunting, they're gonna have just a few tags to award. But man, to be able to shoot a bear in your home state, that's just such a cool thing.
Yeah, no kidding. And I would imagine, I mean, obviously you need training and education anytime you go hunting for anything because you're dealing with a firearm. But I would imagine bears are a different story altogether, like because of the danger involved. Or am I wrong about that? Wouldn't there be some special training recommended for somebody that was going to go bear hunting?
Well, and let me backtrack a little bit on what I said. It looks like they do have a season set that it would start the third Monday in October and run for 10 days.
Wow.
So that's kind of the initial setup for the bear season.
If you get a tag, you are our official bear hunting correspondent, and I can't wait to see all the footage.
Can you eat bear?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Never I've heard it's crazy.
Yeah, and it was my friends that
I know you can wrestle a bear.
Yeah. Oh, you wrestle them and then eat them. That's how you do it.
That's a different kind of hunting season.
That own an outfitting business down in Southwest Missouri, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, and they have bears on camera, and they can see, like, when the whitetails start to not show up on their camera, they know, okay, bears are going to start showing up because the whitetail kind of move out, bears move in, and they just kind of have this back and forth dynamic that goes on. But yeah, I mean, you're hunting a predator. So it's mm-hmm. a lot different than hunting an herbivore like an elk or a deer. A lot of states, they will bait bears in with donuts and bacon grease and stuff. And I don't think that's going to be allowed for Missouri season. So I think you're just going to kind of have to use your woodsmanship skills and scouting and all those kind of native abilities to encounter one.
Go ahead, Bo. Go ahead.
No, so a little backstory. When I grew up, my mom owned a Mr. Donut franchise in Rochester, Minnesota, and the bear hunters would come to us and they would ask for our throwaway donuts because we threw everything away at the end of the day.
Yep.
And we would give them bags and bags and bags, and then they would go to McDonald's and they would get all their grease and they would combine this in these big piles. And all my mom ever asked for was just a bear claw, you know, not the donut, but, you know, the bear. An actual bear claw, and every year he'd come by with a necklace with one on it or whatever. I just thought it was so crazy because, I mean, we're talking thousands of pounds of old donuts just out there piled up. You talk about baiting, that's baiting.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. That's an awesome story.
Yeah, he'd be out there with a glass of milk looking for that pile.
No kidding. Tim, real quick, and maybe you're going to say I can't answer that very quick, and it's a whole other conversation, but where do you stand in general on the idea of baiting? Are you for it, or do you think it's immoral?
Unethical.
Yeah, unethical.
I guess it depends on what kind of, like, I personally am not jazzed about it. Like, it doesn't get me excited. In some states it's legal for some species. And I mean, it's really a pretty complex question. In some states though, like, it's so wide open and there's so little resources around that guys that may be hunting whitetails, they don't have big blocks of woods like we do, or they don't have agriculture like we do in northern Missouri to even encounter a deer. So they're really kind of stuck. It's like, well, what do they do? So it's so contextual, and it's such a kind of sticky question. My personal feeling is I want to encounter that deer on its terms, on its home court. And I'm not gonna downplay someone that's, as long as they're following the laws and hunting ethically, I'm not gonna downplay someone else's tactic.
All right, this is how we're gonna go out. We should let Tim promote his stuff. How can people find you, Tim, whether it be with the Drury Outdoors podcast, the Thinking Woodsman show, Deercast app, all of that great stuff?
It's all a secret and I can't tell.
Okay. Let's wrap it. All right,
thanks for coming. Merry Christmas.
Let's wrap it up.
Happy Chanukah, guys.
It's Chanukah.
Chanukah. Yeah,
right. But seriously, download the Deercast app if you are going to be out into the great outdoors anytime soon. You still have a little bit of hunting season left this year, and the Deercast app is amazing, and the 100% Wild podcast and the Thinking Woodsman podcast, also great stuff. You can get them anywhere you get podcasts, Tim, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. Thanks for saying that, Tony. And like right now, late season is really hard. If you still have an unpunched tag as a whitetail hunter, it's really hard. The deer aren't moving much. You got a lot of nighttime pictures or no pictures at all. So really leverage Deercast to help you figure out when to go out and set in the stand, because it's miserable outside, like to go out and sit in a tree stand in 27 degree weather. So make sure you're making the most of your time by knowing when deer are going to be moving with Deercast.
Are we equipping the deer with human cast to find out, to give them the information as when the humans are nearby?
Speaking of ethics, called their nose.
Yeah, no kidding.
Their nose is so darn sensitive. Right. It's almost like a superpower.
This is how we're going out. I literally have no idea what this is going to say. I just pulled up a random Randy Quaid tweet. Him reading one of Trump's tweets in his Randy Quaid style. Looks like this is maybe from a month ago or something like that. I don't even know.
I'm his new follower.
I have no idea what he's going to say. He's reading a Trump tweet, so hopefully it's not going to be anything too offensive. But you never know. Here is an example of Randy Quaid doing one of his Trump tweets.
Fox News daytime ratings have completely collapsed. Weekend daytime, even worse. Very sad to watch this happen. But they forgot the
win.
I thought he was dropping the F-bomb. They forgot first.
What made them successful? What got them there? They forgot the golden goose. The only difference between the 2016 election and 2020 is Fox News.
Okay.
There you go.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
And that's how we wrap up this week's edition of the podcast exclusive. Tim Shelsvik, thank you so much, buddy, for your time. If we don't talk to you before, have a Merry Christmas. Thanks for all your help here on the show, and we'll talk to you again soon, bud.
Will do. Take care, guys.
All right.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, man.
That is going to do it for another edition of the podcast exclusive for producer Carl Middleman.
Hi.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. I'm Tony Colombo.
Present.
Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Merry Christmas, boys.